Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, it's wonderful to be here. I'm not a morning person. I really don't like Sunday mornings. Although I do two Sunday services when I, you know, pastor teach vibe. But in the prophetic, I usually prefer the Sunday nights. And so we are just going to, what time do I have to finish, Pastor Alex? 10:30, okay. Wonderlijk, which means wonderful. Hello, everybody. Greetings from Africa. Good to see some familiar faces. Good to see some not so familiar faces. And I want to bring a very short message this morning. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Now, I'm all for deliverance. I come from Africa. Trust me, there be demons. And there be witch doctors, and there be sorcerers, and there be all kinds of people that worship the devil as their source of whatever, like life, if you will. And we've been doing deliverance, SRA, satanic ritual abuse, survivors, all this stuff for many, many years. So I am not against deliverance. 90% of deliverance is done in the church. So please don't in your weird and wonderful theology think that Christians can't have a demon. There be plenty. But we don't focus on the demons because many years ago, I would look at people and I would actually see the demon. I would go out of the realm of the natural. And it's like you see now just in the realm of the spiritual. It's very, very difficult to describe that. And you see. And I remember once, to cut a long story short, I was with a young man who was about to get married. And as I was looking at him, suddenly I was in the spirit, and the hand of the Lord come upon me, and all I saw was this demon, and this demon's busy grinning at me, you know, just pulling this pipe like this, you know. And I'm just busy watching the situation. The demon's like in the rib cage. I'm hearing Pastor Earl's voice. But in the rib cage. And I remember looking at all of this, and God said to me, he's unborn. You know, he's not saved. He's no rebirth. And it was strange, but I just looked at it, and then I came out of it, and then they all passed out, and I left. 6 months later, I was praying. And I said, Lord, you know, why didn't I cast that devil out? And the Holy Spirit said to me, because I never told you to. And I learned a very big lesson there, and that is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Otherwise, you can actually go for it. And then we would have to lock the doors because you'd have these Christians running all over the show trying to get out the building of these demons freaking out. Okay, so, you know, of course, the common argument that there can't be a demonic activity in our lives is that the Holy Spirit and Satan cannot occupy the same space. But there's no biblical truth to that. Because in the Old Testament, how many of you know that even in the Holy of Holies, there were demons dancing with the priests? Even now, there are times when Satan goes to and fro across the earth, seeking whom he may devour. He then goes up before God and he accuses the brethren day and night in God's presence. Okay? King David said, if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Amen? So there are scriptural references where most certainly God and the enemy can inhabit the same space. Now, I'm just saying that. Because that's a part of preaching the gospel. Preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, and set at liberty the captives. So I'm all for that, okay? However, there is another place that you and I as believers can get to where you can maintain your freedom, where you can loose yourself. Amen. From any oppression, from any heaviness, from any bondage, from any demonic attack. And we've only got one session this morning, so I'm just going to just see. I've got no notes, just a couple of scriptures. And let's just see what comes out of this. You guys ready? Loose yourself. If you've lost your joy, loose yourself from that unjoy. If you're feeling depressed, and please, I'm not against the medical fraternal. I have dear friends that are doctors. Paul, he had a dear friend. Dr. Luke was his personal physician. Amen. The Bible calls him the beloved physician. Is everybody still saved? It's a Sunday morning, guys, okay? So we'll preach tonight. We'll get into the stuff tonight. but just lay a foundation, I believe, for where we're going. And so it is just so that in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, you're really all like emperors without any clothes on. You might have natural clothes, but are you wearing your spiritual clothes? Satan himself likes to adorn us with a satanic arrangement. In fact, you can read about it in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2. It says, "And do not be conformed to the God of this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." However, if we look at it in the spirit, in the Greek language, it says, "And do not be conformed to the God of this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," transformed by the renewing of your mind, reconstruct your perceptions, the way you see things. But to be conformed there means to be fashioned after. It primarily means to be fashioned after, or to take on the fashion of that age. And it speaks, in essence, to a garment. And so he wants to get you to be very demonically fashionable. It's quiet in here. Am I doing bad for 10 minutes here? Are we thinking? Okay. So he wants to clothe us with his arrangement, with his adornment, with his clothing. It makes it very easy for him to identify you. It makes it very easy for him to get to you. You stick out like a sore thumb in a big crowd. Amen. But there is something Satan cannot handle, and that is when God's people are clothed in beautiful garments. Beautiful garments. And there's also weaponry, for example, armor. Amen. And you don't have weapons or weaponry for a fashion parade. It's for war, right? And yet many Christians have put their armor down. That's why Paul the writer says, you got to pick up the armor. Take it back up again, the Greek says, which means you once had it on, but you've taken it off. So let's just get into this. I didn't know what I was going to say until I got you. Flew in from Africa, and like I say, I don't like mornings. But it's okay. It's not a bad confession. It's just a cheeky confession. So God will handle me with that. Okay. So let's get into this. If you want to, go with me to Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number something. Let's take it from verse number 13. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 14, please. Are we there? Yeah? No? Do we put them up there? No? Oh, you do? Okay, cool. And we'll read it, I think, out of the New King James Version. Amen. Morning, everybody. I'm trying to be as mellow and pastoral as possible. Okay, I can feel my legs are shaking. So when they start shaking like that, it means they want to start moving, you know, so. But okay, so let's just, okay. Usually we just nice in the mornings, you know. There's a reason for it. And then the evenings, the guys that are really hungry, they rock up. Therefore, he says, this is the Lord God Almighty. And he's actually quoting a hymn out of the Old Testament. The prophets would sometimes use this statement, oftentimes. It has powerful ramifications relative to the Spirit. And therefore, he says, awake. There's not too much sound up here, so I don't want to shout at you, but awake. Okay, there you go. Awake, you who sleep. Now, he's not talking about people that are dead, and he's not talking about people that are physically sleeping. He's talking about believers, Christians, that have become complacent, that have kind of like just, they're no longer in the battle. They're no longer fighting a good fight. They might be fighting a lot of fights, but most of them are bad fights. In Scripture, you can fight a good fight or you can fight a bad fight. Amen. I like to fight good fights. Amen. Right? You don't go there, but 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, concerning the prophecies previously made over you, that by them you may wage a good warfare." Amen. You may fight a good fight or fight a good fight of faith. You can wage a good warfare. You can have a good fight. It's great when you're in a good fight. Amen. All right, some of you are just used to bad fights, but I enjoy good fights. Because you're guaranteed the victory no matter how rough it gets. Amen? It's a good fight. "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead." That's a radical statement. It's like talking or describe, because this is in Ephesians, Paul writing to the Ephesus church. He's telling them, you guys got to wake up. He doesn't just say wake once. Awake, awake. "Awake, you who sleep. Arise." Awake. "Arise from the dead." What dead is he talking about here? Basically, as we journey through this Christian life, we become ineffective. We're no longer praying like we used to pray. We're no longer on fire like we used to be on fire. Something's happened. Because when you go to sleep, you take your clothes off. Well, most of us. Okay, maybe not in America. Maybe it's too cold here, right? But as a rule, we have, most of us have a wash or have a shower or a bath or whatever you call it. Whatever you do, you stand on a tap outside of the host pub. And then you've had a hard day's work. You get out of your clothes, right? And you either sleep in your birthday suit or you put your pajamas on or something. But my point is, you change your clothes. So the principle is, we tend to take off our clothes when we go to sleep. And so what's happened here is that we are kind of, if you will, naked or in inappropriate attire for the task when you're sleeping. And the longer you're sleeping, you know, have you ever met anybody that you say that person's sleeping asleep as unto death? I mean, you can make a noise, you can set off crackers, you can shout, they just sleep. And the longer you sleep, you're going into like Peter when he was in prison. Remember Peter when he was in prison? And the angel rocked up and the light shone brighter than the sun. And the angel had to actually kick and strike Peter to wake him up out of his slumber. In the Greek, it says he was sleeping asleep as unto death. Amen. It's like you're gone. Okay. So he's talking about these kinds of Christians. He's saying, "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead," because the dead that are buried, and I mean no disrespect to the dead, they are not really able to accomplish too much unless they were the great cloud of witnesses and God allows us to access conversation, or you go into the throne room and you listen to the conversations of the 24 elders and they can give you a message and so forth and so on. No, that's not consulting with the dead. I got scripture for that, okay? Sometimes in the ministry I can be caught up and I'm listening to them and I'm getting messages. John on the Isle of Patmos had some radical visions and he was caught up into this incredible spiritual habitation. And while he was there, he was weeping, he was sobbing because nobody was found worthy to open the seals of the book, this one book. And he sobbed and he wept, and Jesus never came to him. An angel never came to him. Father never came to him. One of the 24 elders got up and came and spoke to John and gave John a message that we are still reading in the book of Revelation to this day. But as a rule, when you're dead, you're kind of like, you know, dead. So there's no real communication unless it's supernatural. There's nothing that's effectively happening. Arise from the dead. Now what he says is beautiful. If you arise up out of this spiritual condition you found yourself in, naked, not, you'll see just now. He says, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, if you understand the spirit world, you'll understand that light is not something that darkness appreciates. I kind of say it slowly because I want this to sink in. I'm just laying a foundation. I can see where God's going this week already. I can tell you right now that darkness cannot comprehend the light. And when we are sleeping or in a state of spiritual slumber, the light is not so bright because you've taken it off. Because your light is locked up in your garments. If you had to just take, let's just say for example, take the weapons of our warfare, the breastplate of righteousness is light because it comes from the word. The loin belt of truth comes from the word. The sword of the spirit, which is the rhema word of God, that every one of those, the shield of faith comes from the word. Every single one of those weapons that you have on when you put them on is light. And if you studied in the Greek, when Satan looks at you, he actually can't see you. He only sees God. Literally in the Greek, you're clothed with God. And God is light. And God's word gives light entrance into your life. And then when you're walking in that realm of light, when you start coming out of your slumber, there's always something that happens when we... Is it okay if I just have a chat this morning? I'll preach tonight. Just get over the jet lag a little bit. Okay. But when you come up out of your slumber, you wake up out of that sleep, if you will, of death. And then you begin to be instructed to put on your garments. Because you had them. But you went to sleep and you took them off. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 52 verse 1, please, honey. Or honey man or honey woman. But whatever sweetness is at the back there, can we go to Isaiah chapter 52 verse 1? Amen. Just laying a foundation this morning because you're going to be deadly for the devil. Again, we see Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Awake, awake. Put on something. Put on your strength. A lot of Christians are feeling very weak. A lot of Christians are feeling very weary. A lot of Christians are feeling very discouraged, even sometimes depressed. A lot of Christians just don't have so much strength like they used to have. This week, that's going to change. By the time we finish here, you are going to feel like you can walk on water if God tells you to. So again, we say, and it's throughout scripture, you get the prophets shouting, yes, because when someone's sleeping, you don't say, wake up, wake up. Especially if they're sleeping that sleep unto death. It's like a cry. It's like a clarion call. It's like wild. It's like, awake! Awake! Put on your strength, O Zion. What strength is this that you must put on? I want to, look, there's many garments in the Bible. There's even a garment of ministry. But I want to talk about garments relative to strength. That you can feel strong in no matter what circumstance, strong in Christ, for Christ, by Christ. And no matter what situation you find yourself in. Come on, we got to get strong again. Strong isn't coming to church on a Sunday and going home and having a barbecue. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's much, much more to our Christianity that God wants to impart to us in this hour. And I'm not just here to give you some nice little teachings, although I can. I want, by the time we move into tonight and tomorrow night in particular during the week, I want to impart strength to you. I want you to be so strong, so reconstructed in your perceptions that you will be able to prove, which means manifest, demonstrate that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I'll get into some revelation this week. But right now, I want to start this week by you and I waking up and let's get dressed again. So we're going to wake up out of our slumber. Yeah, we're going to wake up out of our slumber. Some of you have gone to sleep because of some intoxication of pain. Some of us have gone to sleep because of the intoxication of a relationship. Some of us have gone to sleep because of the pain of shame and sin in our lives. And some of us have gone to sleep in our self-righteousness. But too many of us, not all, I'm just saying if the shoe fits, have gone to sleep. And now it's time to awake. Yes, now it's time to awake. And once again, be strong again. Be strong in your spirit. Be strong in your soul. And be strong in your body. You see, even though Jesus Christ lives inside of you, and greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world, you and I have to allow Him to be made manifest through our mortal bodies. You got to come awake in order to do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul makes it very clear. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest through this mortal body. When you're sleeping, you're just snoring. When you're sleeping in the spirit, now I'm talking spiritually to you, there's no manifestation of Jesus that's taking place. And it doesn't matter how messed up you are. If you put on these garments, and I'm going to show you now in a few seconds how to do it. I better just watch the time. I want you to know, catch it and do it and loose yourself. I agree in deliverance. I agree in counseling. I've been doing it for almost 30 years. But I tell you something, I delivered myself. And I was possessed. And I'm not giving the devil any glory. I'm just sharing his demise with you and his inability to keep you and his inability to hold you back and your children back, etc. You know, I was flying here thinking, if only you understood the promises of God for your children, you wouldn't be so stressed out about the future. Some of you, I could begin prophesying right now. But let's just take it a step at a time now. Such precious people here. God loves you very much. I said, God loves you very much. You might not love yourself, but you should. Because you can only love your neighbor to the degree that you love yourself, to the degree that you understand how much the Father loves you. It's when you think the Father doesn't love you, that measure of your understanding, that degree of the Father's love for you, determines your ability to love yourself with that measure and in turn love others. You will never be able to love other people if you despise and hate yourself. And the only way you can love yourself is when you get to know how much God the Father loves you. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. To the degree that Jesus understood the Father's love towards him, it was that to that degree he could love others. Do you know how much he really loves you? So awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments. Put on your beautiful garments. You have beautiful garments, like later on in the scripture describes someone who's like a bridegroom or a bride. You know, when they get married, they put on their best. It's beautiful, as a rule, garments. Are you guys okay? Am I boring you? Okay. Beautiful garments. He says, awake, wake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Now, in other words, what he's saying is, he's saying there are beautiful garments that God's covenant children should be wearing. And when you are wearing those beautiful garments, the enemy, the uncircumcised, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood in the New Testament. There are those who are inspired by the enemy. But we are recognizing the reality that the enemy has no covenant with God. I said the enemy, Satan, has no covenant with God. You and I have a covenant with God through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that he made with himself on our behalf. So that even when you were unfaithful, he remains faithful to his covenant that he made with himself. Amen. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. What does that mean? No longer come to you. Maybe I'll just pull it out in the Hebrew a little bit here. But basically, it's not saying that he's not going to try. Hello? It's not saying that he's not going to try. But he will not come to you as a rule. I want to avoid that one. He'll come to you, but he's not allowed to come to you. He shall no longer come to you. He'll come, he'll stop, and he'll back away. That's what he's saying. Doesn't mean he says he's not going to try. It's like he goes around looking for those whom he may devour. But he goes around, but when you wear these three beautiful garments I'm going to talk to you about in a few minutes, and you put them on, you practice that, he can't touch you. He won't come near you. You can walk in any area, any place. He won't come anywhere near you. He might come to you, but he can't come to you. Well, what are those garments? What are those garments? I believe, let's see what Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10 says, please. Are you guys okay? We'll just have a chat this morning, okay? We'll preach tonight, aren't we? All right. The three garments that the prophet Isaiah expounds on. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Now, when you go to sleep, you take those garments off. That's why the prophets throughout are saying, awake, awake, put this on. Awake, awake, out of your sleep of death. Awake, awake. Forever throughout scripture, you'll see the prophets telling God's people, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, why? So that you can get dressed again. So that you can, in the sleep of darkness, because there is darkness in that sleep. I'm talking about that spiritual sleep, right? There's darkness. That's why he says, if you wake up, then Christ will give you light. Where does that light come from? The garments that you are able to wear. The garments that you put on. Those garments are deadly, dangerous for the devil. But you see, here's the problem. Many people come to church and they're half asleep. Some are sleepwalking. I'm not being derogatory now. I'm just using this for illustration. And we come to church and we're half asleep. We come to church and we're sleepwalking. We come to church and we never ever put on, if you will, or we go to work or we go to school and we never put on the garment of salvation. Why? Because we're actually wondering if we're still saved. Now, maybe not here in America, maybe not here in this church, but I counsel a lot of precious, beautiful Christians. And I'm amazed at how they experience seasons where they actually come to me and say, you know, Mark, I don't even know if I'm still saved. And it's not like they're committing crazy sins or anything like that. They just don't feel saved anymore. Has anybody ever been there before? Okay, praise God. All right, some of us. But if you've ever been there, it's a terrible place of sleep. It's a terrible place. It torments their minds. They don't know what to do. They become paralyzed. The enemy is all over them. And the enemy can pick them up a mile away, because remember, the serpent was cursed to eat the dust of the earth. And the serpent is very blind. He can't see. And he uses his tongue to tap into the dust particles to be able to find his prey. And when you don't have on the garment of salvation, then there's a lot of dust being released into the atmosphere. And that's when he begins to come for you. But if you say, wait a minute, whose report shall I believe? If God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you've called upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. And if you messed up and you committed a sin, be quick to repent. Call upon his name. He's a good God. He's a just God. He's a loving God to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you say, I'm putting on that garment of salvation. I don't doubt I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I believed I'm saved through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And today, when I walk out of my house, and today I am going to go out there with a helmet, with this robe of righteousness, this garment of righteousness. As you walk there with this garment of salvation, all Satan sees is light. You're saved. You belong to the Master. He can't touch you. He's not allowed to touch you. Listen, Satan does not have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Jesus has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, it is not up to Satan to decide when it's my time to go. He has no right concerning death. He only has death come to us when we allow it, or there's sovereign divine intervention. But at the end of the day, it is God who has the keys of death. He decides, is it time to be born? Is it time to die? He decides. The keys of the kingdom, the keys of heaven. And guess where the keys of the kingdom are? I got the keys of the kingdom. Oh, I don't care if you don't like it. I telleth thee the truth. I have the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever things I shall bound on this earth, and whatsoever things I shall loose on this earth, shall be bound in heaven, shall be bound and loosed on earth. It's just like that. What of me, a bunch of teensy-weensy yellow polka dot bikini? Stop looking at your sins. It's like your robe of your garment of salvation is full of holes when you do that. You allow the moths to come and eat it. That salvation comes from God. You're saved unless you reject him. or live a lifestyle of sin and never repent. If you say that you are without sin, the Bible says you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. But if you recognize that you have sinned or you failed, maybe it was last year, or once a year, or once every second hour, I don't know. Just be quick to repent. Come on, especially the young people, because you're full of it. Just repent. Amen. And be quick to repent. It's as simple as that. God is good. God is kind. God is just enough to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am not advocating sin. I'm just saying we're all a bunch of sinners. Okay, some of you don't agree with me. Well, the Bible agrees with me. I'll take the Bible over your word any day. So if you want to be dangerous to the devil, when you get up in the morning, and even when you go to bed, use it as your pajamas. What am I saying? Just make sure that whatever sin you've committed, just repent. And know that He's good, and He's kind, and He's just enough. My goodness, I'm looking at some of you, you sinned 20 years ago and you still can't get over it. Get over it. It's nailed to the tree. That's why we thank Him. That's why we praise Him. That's why we love Him. Because He first loved us. Amen. It's through beautiful garments. The Bible calls them, I know this is simple, but I'm just setting up for this week. They're beautiful garments. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? For the garment of salvation. Salvation comes from the Word, and the Word gives light entrance into your life. Many years ago, I was preaching in Africa, and I was so like that. I didn't even drink coffee, lest I became addicted to coffee. I didn't watch television, didn't read magazines, wouldn't look at a newspaper. I was just like praying 8 hours a day, fasting 40 days at a time, just going flat out. Never forget one Sunday service. A huge man walked from the back, came, stood right in front of me. He looked at me and he said, "You've got sin in your life." And I got such a shock. I was trying to think, what sin? I couldn't find any sin, but it rattled me. It shook me. And I lost my boldness. I lost my faith in that meeting, in that moment, right at the end when I was praying for the sick. And it bothered me for about 2-3 years. And then I suddenly realized what he was doing. He was sowing a seed of doubt. I still couldn't find out what sin he was talking about. It must have been something, but I didn't know about it. And that's exactly what's happening to some of you. Satan's whispering in your ears and he's telling you. Remember that thing you did? Remember that thing you did 10 years ago? Remember that thing you did yesterday, last week? And what's he doing? He's disrobing you. And guess what happens? You lose the joy of your salvation. And when you lose the joy of your salvation, you lose your strength and you become weak. And then you go to sleep. It's like you become spiritually depressed and all you want to do is stay in a spiritual bed. But not so for you. We're going to make sure that you guys are going to come out of it. So we want to put on the garment of salvation. Even before you leave this meeting, whatever it is, just under your breath, find a little place in the car, tell God, "Hey, I'm sorry. Now I'm putting on that beautiful garment of salvation. To hell with the devil." Amen. And then, and he has a beautiful one. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. Well, we go to sleep in the spirit and we take it off. The righteousness of God, literally, if you studied, it's like such a blinding light. It blinds the devil. If he comes at you, that garment blinds him. He can't see. He can't even get his way to you. He stumbles. This is okay, Pastor Alex. Just stumbles to you. Now, we'll preach tonight. We'll preach. But just stumbles. He can't find you.
How do we put on that robe of righteousness? Whatever unrighteousness, anything that we are doing that's causing our right standing with God from our side to be affected, we make an endeavor and we say, Lord, help me, I want to stop it. I can't do it by myself, I've tried. How many times have you tried to stop that sin? Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you don't. Come on now. Then at the end of the day, all you do is turn to God and say, God, I've tried. I can't do this. Help me. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help me. I'm forgiven. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your grace. I accept your love. I accept your mercy. And then you say, I'm taking back that robe of righteousness. And you put on that robe of righteousness, my friend. Let me tell you something. You dazzle the devil. He can't see you. See, maybe this is not for many of you here. I know. But there's about 15 of you I'm talking to, and I'm trying to give you hope. Okay, so that you can move with us this week into a whole new dimension with Christ. Now, I must close. I've got 4 minutes left. So we have the beautiful garment of joy, of salvation. The beautiful garment of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with it. Amen. See God's peace coming into this place right now. He really wants you to understand that He loves you. He's not here to destroy you. His peace is all over you. Final scripture, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, please. Isaiah 61, verse 3, please. To console those who mourn in Zion. Don't tell me that you can be in Mount Zion, and Mount Zion is a spiritual habitation, and still not feel sorrow and sadness and mourn. Now I look over the beautiful faces of the precious people here, and my heart wants to break as I look into the faces of some. Just seeing the shattered hearts. We're going to fix that this week. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. To give them beauty for ashes. That's my wife's favorite verse that she's tattooing on her body soon. Well, I'm sure some of you will have something bad to say about it, but she had a mastectomy. So now she's eventually, after 3 years of fighting this demon called cancer, now she's going to do reconstruction surgery, and she's going to use a tattoo to hide the scars and to put there to give them beauty for ashes. Amen. And God has a tattoo, and if you want the scripture, I'll give it to you. Bible says He's tattooed your name on the palm of His hand. Okay, let me leave that. Let's finish. I've got about 3 minutes left. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. These are the beautiful garments that the prophet is speaking about. There are others, but these ones specifically in the context, he calls them beautiful garments. Beautiful garments. And when we experiencing a heaviness, when we experiencing discouragement, perhaps depression, I don't know, perhaps anger that is wanting to cause you to sin, maybe it's a pain that nobody knows you're carrying deep inside your heart. I can assure you, if there's one thing Satan cannot handle, is a believer who puts on that garment of praise and begins to praise God no matter what they're going through, no matter what they experience, no matter how much pain they enter into, because then you'll find yourself having that spirit of heaviness, just it's a spirit. That heaviness just lifts off you like that. and you'll find oil comes flooding your soul, and it's an oil of joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then there's a beauty that comes, for the pain of ashes, which speaks of that which has been totally annihilated by fire. I didn't have much time with you this morning. I didn't preach this morning, but I'll preach tonight. And I just want to ask you, when you come tonight, put on those three garments. If there's been unrighteousness from your side that's been affecting maybe the relationship with Father, maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's bitterness, maybe it's an attitude of resentment that's just caused your life to become like ashes. You know, maybe it's a sin of the flesh. Maybe it's a sin of the heart. Maybe it's a sin of the soul. I don't know. I don't know. But if the shoe fits this morning and we move into this week with what God wants to do for us, let's put on those three garments. Amen. And when we put on those three garments, you come back tonight and we're going to kick some devil butt. Amen. And we're going to pray for the sick, and we're going to just operate in the prophetic, and God's already speaking to some of me, to me about some of you, and it's great. Because He whispers in my ear and He talks to me. Amen. And I'll get a hold of you guys tonight, but my time is up. It was good to see you all this morning. I love you dearly. Thank you for having me. And we'll see you tonight. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.